Man, I'm glad you all are here today. We are in our Home Sweet Home series. We have this message and one more, but that happens after Father's Day. And during Father's Day, this is really exciting. My wife is going to be preaching on Father's Day. And one of our traditions, it's becoming a tradition this year because we did it last year, so it'll be a second time. So it'll be a tradition officially, is on Father's Day. We're asking everyone to show up, but wear something that represents a father figure in your life. Maybe it's your father, maybe it's your grandfather, maybe it's an uncle. Who is a father figure? Maybe it's your husband for your children. And choose that father figure and dress and somehow represent them. So last year, someone's addicted to coffee, and they wore everything like coffee related. They had a coffee shirt on. They brought a pot of coffee. I'm very on the nerd spectrum, if you will. And my wife dressed up in all nerd clothes last year and represented me well. So that was that was fantastic. And my daughter too. And I did all I dress up. Yeah, Ollie had a Star Wars shirt on, so that was great. So that's happening next week. So plan to wear something creative, and it's always fun to look at everyone dressed up and see maybe some things we didn't know about that person before. Now we know. And it's a fun time. Well, we are continuing in our series, Home Sweet Home, and today the message title is Homesick. Homesick. Has anyone ever been homesick before? I'm kind of ashamed to admit it, but I need to preface this message. I was a kid when all the other kids would go to the house and everyone's playing around, and I grew up in Oregon, so our pastime was this thing. You know, I don't think it exists anymore. Maybe kids don't know that. It's called outside. There was like these things, there were stick. It was like, to give you an idea, it was the best virtual reality you could imagine. You play with these sticks, and in Oregon, you run around and you pour salt on slugs, and that would just... That would be the day. sorry if anyone is a slug lover, but I don't know. And so I was always a kid that I got invited at a very young age. Everyone was kind of a little bit older, and I was just a young kid. And because in a farming community, our town had 500 people. And so your choice of friends is limited to like a 10-year age gap, and that's everyone in the community. And so everyone would go over and spend the night at one person's house, and we'd all be there, and I was the youngest one. And at some point, I would just have a meltdown. I was just way too young for all-nighter in the community, and I'd just get homesick, and I'd be the kid that would be crying. I'd be like, I want to go home. I need to go home right now. And my parents would come pick me up, take me home, and they're like, well, what was wrong? And I was like, I don't know. I just need to be home. And then like minutes later, I'd be like, can I go back? And my parents are like, we're not driving back at 1 a.m. Yeah, I was that kid. And God had placed this message on my heart. Not only are we going through every idiom and cliche that has the word home in it, but this week, homesick, having home in it. God had really placed a message on my heart about homesick, but really the definition of homesick. Because I don't think, I've never heard a message on being homesick before, and I would probably guess that no one else has ever heard a message on being homesick, but that's how we do it at Lighthouse. Creative messages that really rely and are based on spiritual principles. Homesick. Check out this. Homesickness comes from the human need for connection, love, and security. Despite its name, your feelings of homesickness might not have anything to do with your actual home. Anything that is familiar, stable, comfortable, and positive can be a source of homesickness when you're away from it. Research has even shown that homesickness is a kind of grief for a loss similar to mourning, a breakup, or death. Homesickness. Homesickness. It's an emotional state that comes from losing or being away from something that is very comfortable and common to you. And I just thought that was so unique, so interesting that really this message is how to deal with change, how to deal with personal change in your life. When something happens and you lose a sense of comfort in your life, what do you deal when those emotions rise up? Today is just, it is a straightforward practical message on dealing with change, personal change in your life. Do you know, what's the best time to prepare for war? Just out loud, anyone. Before. So like when war occurs, it's not a good idea to start training at that moment, right? Likewise with this message, I want to give you preparation for when change comes in your life in the midst of no change. So you can prepare for that. If change is coming, if something happens in your life, what do you do with it? And likewise, if maybe you already know all these things, it's a good reminder to help someone else out during a time of loss. Amen? Okay. Dealing with change and loss. I have a question. How, for those of you who have been inside of a car before, thanks David for chuckling. What's the ratio of rear view mirror to window? Does anyone guess? Just like a random percentage guess. I'm not looking for an accurate. 26%? 1/10? 10%? Just right. Just right. Thanks, Frank. Perfect answer, right? Just right. Phone a friend. I mean, we can all agree the rear view mirror is pretty minuscule, and the window that we see through is really on the major side, right? We see more of what's ahead of us and less of what's behind us. But one thing to deal with loss is when it gets inverted, we get in trouble. When the rear view mirror takes up 90% of the window and we can only see through 10% of what's coming, that's just dangerous. Likewise, in our personal lives, if we're 90% focused on our past and only 10% on our future, we're really setting ourselves up emotionally for hardship. So, okay. Here's what I did with this message. I really like illustratively looking at things and looking at practical things on this earth and how they relate to who God is and what he's speaking to us. Today, I looked up methods in dealing with homesickness, and then I took it and I worked with the exact same responses on this article and transitioned it to what God says about dealing with loss. So number one, this article says, the number one thing that you need to first work on with homesickness is develop coping strategies. So in your notes, in your bulletins, go ahead and write this in. If you do not have a bulletin, can you just raise your hand real quick and David will just give one to you real fast. It has the notes in there. Follow along. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. God's saying, listen, you got a lot of things going on in your life. You got the positives and you got the negatives. But it is worthwhile to focus and concentrate on the things that are good. And God says that. In psychology and therapy, you learn that too. Start writing lists of things that are positive happening in your life. And God says that if you have your mindset on what's happening that's virtuous, what's happening that's good, that's one of the first things you need to do. So out of that, in developing coping strategies, this article lists out four things that you really can do to develop these strategies. The first one, A, is recognize homesickness symptoms. It says there's things that will happen in your life that are really indicators of homesickness. But through what we're learning today, I want you to really look at these symptoms as maybe these are actually, when these spring up, maybe it's because you have loss in your life and there's something emotionally that you have to deal with. So, when you're stuck on nostalgic feelings, nostalgia, feeling preoccupied by thoughts of your past, of your home, and constantly comparing it to your new situation. When you start looking at your past more than your future, and you're saying, well, this is how this used to be, and this is how this used to be, this is, well, what about this, and what about this, and you're constantly looking backwards, just like the rearview mirror. You might be dealing with homesickness, is what this article talks about. You might be dealing with emotional loss. The second symptom is depression. experiencing academic or work difficulties, helplessness, low self-esteem, or withdrawing from social activities. When things really start to, have you ever been, I've been in these situations before where it's like, you just feel like, almost like a toilet bowl, like someone hit the flush and you just start spiraling down and it just starts getting like worse and worse. It's that depression spiral down thing. You start withdrawing. That's a symptom of loss. The third one is anxiety. Having obsessive thoughts, extreme stress, or difficulty concentrating. Everything else is happening, but really you can't focus on the important aspect of what's at hand. And the fourth one, this one's kind of interesting because you can kind of guess the other ones, right? You can kind of say, well, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it makes sense that you'd be depressed during homesick. It makes sense. The last one is interesting, and it's kind of a sneaky one. Abnormal behaviors. Severe changes in diet. Severe social interaction. And the last one, headaches. I just thought that was interesting. It pops out. Later on, I found out that headaches are caused from the depressed aspect and the diet changes and not enough of what you used to have. And so your brain is trying to cope with all of everything going into it. And it's a physical ailment from an emotional state. I know this is very, almost like a therapy message, but I'm really going to bring the God aspect in it in a moment. Because I just want to take a time out. I'm just really sensing this. I think this message is so valid, so important. Because so many times we face major changes in our lives, or even little changes in the church that, you know, like, for, I'm just going to throw out a random example, okay? Like when we move the drum set to the other side, okay? I mean, it sounds silly. Everyone wants to chuckle, you know? But really, you never know if someone internally says, what? I loved it on that side. And then they start dealing with that change, right? It's little things. I wanted to show how to deal with these realistically through God's word and also what scientists had put together on this. I just thought it was so interesting. Okay, so A, you have to recognize homesickness symptoms. B says this, in finding coping mechanisms, do some things you love to do that comforted you before. Says research shows that doing things you feel nostalgic about can help you feel better. Traditions, rituals can help foster a sense of connectedness to your home even when you're far away. So when you're dealing with loss, especially if you lose a person that's very dear to you, do something annually. Bring back something, a tradition that you and that person had. If there's something in the church that there was a tradition that you absolutely loved and it just doesn't happen anymore, then maybe facilitate it. Maybe it's part of the vision and God's placing that on your heart to help co-lead that. Where do you fall in line with that? C says, keep a journal. Research has shown, I just totally just messed that up. Research has shown that keeping a journal where you reflect your experiences and how they made you feel can help relieve feelings of homesickness. But it says this, keep your focus positive. Keep your focus positive. It's so critical that you look at the good aspects rather than just write down, well, this stinks. This is terrible. You know, and it just becomes like a hate journal. It's keeping your focus positive. And then it even goes on and says, make your journal more than just a list. Make it, why am I feeling this? Well, I felt like this because of this. And it kind of gives you examples in your brain of why situations make you feel the way you feel. That way you can either avoid those or work through them in a better way. And then D coping mechanism. Avoid obsessing over your past. I found this article that was just so intriguing to me. Dealing with homesickness and dealing with change and loss. It said if you really have an issue with constantly that rearview mirror again of 90% is reflected on the past and 10% on the future, do this. Limit conversations and phone calls to a one-on-one ratio. For every minute you spend thinking or talking about the past, spend a minute talking about what's currently happening and the future. Fix the ratio. It'll start helping you out on that. Okay. Number two from the article. So that was develop coping mechanisms. Number two is reaching out to others. Reaching out to others. I started at University of Oregon right out of high school. And I think, I don't know if everyone's dealt with this. Maybe I'm the strange one out of the lot. But right when you get out of high school, there's kind of this phase of you're not quite sure what you want to do and who you want to become and the whole career and life choices. And it's just ambiguous. Did I say it right? I think so. Thank you. That word. And it's just a blur before you. It's like, I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. And I was sitting at U of O and I just signed up because all my friends did. And I'm like, oh, I'll go and I'll figure it out along the way. That's just who I am. And I remember one night I had a breakdown about a year and a half into the program, which is quite a distance into a four-year college. I passed 25% and I still had no clue what I was going to do. And I broke down and the dorm that I was staying in had multiple levels, and it was a guy and girl dorm. And I had gone down to try to find some peace and quiet, just away from everyone, like 2-3 in the morning. And I went into the basement, into a laundry room, and I was like, no one's going to come into the laundry room at 3 a.m. and do laundry. Like, that's, no one's going to be here. And so I was just sitting there in the corner, just like crying and just wondering what's going to happen in life. And I remember this girl walked in and she's like, what are you doing in here? I'm here to do laundry. Why are you crying in the corner? And I was like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. And I remember her name was Anita. And she walked over and she's like, well, have you prayed about it? And this is so sad to admit. I was like, well, no. I haven't prayed about it yet. And I'm just taking random classes, whatever looks interesting that fits into my time slot so I can still hang out with friends. That's the classes I choose. And she goes, well, how about let's pray about it and ask God to show up miraculously and let's see what happens. I was like, that's a cool idea. Let's do that. And she prayed with me. And the next morning, I got a phone call from a youth pastor that I knew from like years ago. I was in his junior high. He called me up and he's like, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're doing. I know you went to church, but I have a youth summer camp coming up real quick, and I just need a counselor. Would you be able to do that? Side note, if you ever work in camps, don't do that. Don't just make a cold call to someone and be like, you want to stay with all these children in this room? Like, I direct camps now, and that's scary for me to think that this guy did this now. But I know now that it was God. And so he calls up and he's like, would you be willing to do that? I'm like, yeah, sure. I was like, when is it? He's like, well, actually we have a midterm camp and it's real quick. Can you pack your bags and head out? I was like, sure. I'm not doing anything. And so went over to the camp. It was a week-long camp, 7 days, back in the day when camps were set a whole week rather than just one or two nights. And I was finishing up the camp, and I remember it was the last night, and I was just sitting there, and I was like having a great time, and I get a phone call at the end of camp. And another youth pastor calls me up, and it was my high school youth pastor. He's like, hey, I don't know what you're doing, but we have this summer camp coming up, and we're out on counselors. Could you come in and counsel a cabin with the boys? And I was like, sure, when is it? And he's like, it starts tomorrow. And I was like, I'm already packed. I got it. So I drove over to that camp and went to that camp, and I'm kind of dense, and so it took God a while to speak to me on this. So halfway through this camp, I'm sitting in the service, and all the junior high boys are, I'm trying to keep them in check. You know, like, it's just in camp, kids just get squirrely in service, and I'm trying to get them to pay attention. All of a sudden, the pastor goes, you know what? Some of you are really being called to ministry this week, and God's been trying to speak to you for a while, and this is it. And I was like, wait, what? That's me? And so after service, he prayed with me and everything, and it was kind of a moment of, if I didn't connect with someone random at 3 a.m. in a laundromat, like, my life would be severely different. It's connecting with people when we need to connect with people. Can you imagine if I had been focused on my situation and be like, no, get out of here. I need to have time alone with myself. My life would have been completely, drastically different right now. It's reaching out to others, not trying to take on our emotional state and our loss and change individually, but it's together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says this, and it'll be up on the screen. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God. Is this up? Oh, is it not working? Frozen? Okay. Let me read this again. So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God. Can we all read this out loud together, this last part? But our lives as well. I think that's encouraging. You know, going to a church and having a relationship with God isn't just the God aspect, but it's sharing lives also. Like when we're going through something major or serious, or it just feels like a loss and it has that homesickness vibe to it or that feel, it's not only about the gospel of God, but it's a sharing in our lives as well. I just want to encourage you, just another time out for the message. You remember Saved by the Bell? Time out. By Zach? Nope. Okay. Just me. It's my generation. Saved by the Bell. If you're going through something right now, it is huge that God will speak to you. But the next level is sharing your life with someone as well. So how do you reach out to others? Because unless you're an extreme extrovert, it's kind of hard to just be like, hey, let's grab coffee so I can tell you about my loss. Like, some people can do that really well. And some people can't. So I want to give you 3 ways to do it if that's maybe not in your wheelhouse. So A, make a list. Make a list. There's a lot of writing involved with homesickness. Look for ways in which your new environment is like what you miss. Okay? Look for ways in which your new environment is like what you miss. Look for ways, if you have a loss of a person in your life, look for traditions that you are currently doing or things in your house that remind you of that person. If things change at the church that you miss something, look for ways that the new things kind of resemble the past. Write them down. And find a way to connect your new situation with your past. Keeps you focused on the positive. B, I know it kind of doesn't, how does that connect to a person? If you write a list, that doesn't make sense. Well, let's look at B. B is get involved with the things that remind you of your past. Find the people that are involved in those same areas. Somehow connect the nostalgic past with your present and connect with people that embody those same values and same hobbies and same things. I found an article that said, in dealing with homesickness and dealing with loss, consistency is key to complete removal of the depression of emotions. And I love this, because the article actually had this like side sentence that I just absolutely love. It said, getting connected will place you in a strong support network. See, when you identify aspects in communities of say, hey, my past, this is what I'm missing. This is what I feel longing for. This is what is hurting me. And you find something that kind of represents that and it has those same qualities, and you get plugged in with that, and you start getting plugged in with people that have the same values, all of a sudden you're moving forward rather than just staring backwards. And you get in a strong support network. See, then share what you love from your past. So it'll lift you up in a positive way to share what happened in your past. And then don't forget the flip side of that. Listen to what happened in their past. You know, don't just be that person that goes up and says, blah, 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 see ya. You know, go up and have that two-way conversation. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 says this, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. Oh, is that just wonderful imagery? Knit together in love. To teach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ. There'd be more than encouragement, but the lives would be knit together. All right. Number three, last point. Ready? Someone say yes, please.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure everyone's awake. Number three, connecting with your new situation. I know I touched on that a little bit in point number two, but number three of the article says, this is key. This is the clincher. This is the last step. This is one of the most important steps in dealing with homesickness and dealing with loss and dealing with everything else that happens. Emotional states is you have to connect to your new situation. So how do you do that? A, enjoy unique aspects. Find things that you love in the change and dwell on them. B, I thought this was kind of interesting out of the article that I read. You ready? This is one super practical. B, get out of your house. Sitting alone with your feelings, watching some rerun in the dark, is not good. That was an actual sentence out of the article. It'll cause you to emotionally spiral down. So get out, go for walks, go to coffee shops. Something was really interesting that happened yesterday. We were at this youth rally base camp. It was how do you explain it? It's like the pre-rally before camp. We're about to have summer camp and young adults camp, and it's kind of the big bang to say, let's get excited, let's get energetic before we go to camp. So it's like a pre-camp to the camp. And all of our young adults and our high school students, we all went, we're hanging out. And so we're waiting in line for the food, and someone just, you know, they didn't get the right quantity of food, especially for young people. You need to order extra, right? So they had bought pizzas and one slice per person. I'm not the only one that didn't. Okay. That makes sense, right? So we're sitting there and we walk up and we're looking at the food and we're like, you guys want to go to Burger King? So we all go to Burger King. And our church, we all rolled out and we're having fun and order food. And so everyone's kind of waiting for the food to get dropped. And I'm like walking around looking for a table. And there's a girl sitting there, probably like maybe 25, 26. And she was just sitting by herself and she was just kind of like eating fry, just staring at the wall. Like, you know when someone's just like not there, like it's like something that just looked, you know, like she was just sad. And so she's eating, and she had a Guatemalan purse right there in front of her. If maybe you don't know, my wife is Guatemalan. And so everything Guatemalan hand goods has like the same pattern on it. It's like the same vibrant wavy lines. They're all, anyways, you can just.
Oh,
okay. So anyways, I saw that she had her purse sitting out, and I go, hey, just randomly, I kind of scare her a little bit. I'm like, my wife's Guatemalan. You have a Guatemalan purse? She's like, well, I don't know if it's Guatemalan. And I was like, well, you know, and I explained the whole, all the colors are the same. Apparently not. And so she goes, well, this is actually from Peru. Some of my best friends are living there now. And they send it over back to me as to say hello and just a reminder that, you know, they love me. And it was so funny. It was just this random encounter. And I was like, oh man, that's really cool. It's great to meet you. And it's awesome. We're at a youth rally. And so I'm just kind of like this whole conversation, like 30 seconds while Ty and Trenton are getting their food and stuff. And then I'm like, hey, I'm Matt. And she's like, hey, I'm Michelle. And so anyways, I was like, have a great day. And I remember I sat down with all of us were hanging out and I kept kind of like watching the corner. And so the rest of the time she was just smiling, like having, and then she left and she's like, wave. And then she left. I'll probably never see her again. But I kind of recognize some. I don't know what her life situation was at that moment, but she probably needed someone to talk to and just say hi. Like just sitting by herself, like her complete emotional state had changed 100% in just saying hi. If you know all everything I've been preaching on today, you're like, yeah, got it, check off, that makes sense. Maybe it's not for you to receive it. Maybe it's for you to help someone with it. These are very practical things to do. Maybe it's time to step up and say, man, that person's been dealing with loss for a long time. I'm equipped to help them now. So B was get out of your house. If you know someone who's been sitting in their house for a long time, invite them to coffee. And if they don't like coffee, I don't know what to say about that. I'm just kidding. For another activity. Yeah, I know. I didn't even have this in my notes, but I was really thinking about your mom's neighbor who's just been, her family, half the family passed away and half the family left. And she's just, I think she's German. She's on the, not her, the other side. Yeah. So, sorry. You know, the spouse conversations you have. I was just really thinking about, I remember she was doing just not well at all emotionally. And one of the women in the neighborhood noticed that she stopped walking the block. And so she went over to her house and just said, you're walking the block with me every day from now on. And man, her attitude completely changed because she was connected with someone. You don't know the power that comes through you with God's love when you connect someone to what you love. And C, this is a good reminder for everyone. Give it time. Don't give up. Don't be disappointed in the situation, in yourself or others. Especially when you're not in love with your new environment right away. Acts 2:42 says this, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. I remember reading this verse, and I think the key word is devoted. Because it could have just said something like, and they listened to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and they broke bread, and they prayed. But it really says they devoted themselves. They said, consistently from now on, our lives will be changed. There's no going back. We're going to do what God had spoke to us to do together. There's this community that happened. It's like through the good times, through the bad times. If you've ever just read the New Testament from start to finish, you realize that there was a lot of bad times mixed in with the good times. A lot of people stood up for what they believed in with Jesus, and just bad things happen. But because they were together and they were unified, the bad times just kind of, it was like water on an umbrella. It just kind of whisked away. Man, that imagery just popped out right now. Yeah, I'm going to go with it for a second. If you're really dealing with this, it could easily feel like you're standing out in the rain. Things hit you and stick to you, and it becomes cold and wet and soggy. Have you ever just been stuck in the rain? Mm-hmm. That's like, I love the rain, but not being stuck in it. I remember one time, the worst rain experience and the best rain experience all rolled into one. I think it was an anniversary or a date or together. It was New Year's Eve, but it was like 1 year after we started dating. It was something big and some anniversary in our life. It was very important to us. Obviously. And I remember going and Patty had surprised me and said, okay, just wear comfortable, just anything comfortable. And it was already raining. And I was like, great, I'll just bring this, because surely we'll be inside. So we went to Disneyland in the worst rain they've had the whole year. You know that kind of rain where you step outside, you step back, and you already feel it through all your clothes? It was just up, like someone just took a bucket on top. And so we were there, and being Disney fanatics, we were there when it opened to when it closed, standing in the rain. And I remember thinking, this is one of the worst and one of the best experiences together. And it's so easy to focus on the bad aspects in the middle of like the best aspects. Patty loved it because she loves the rain, but I grew up in Oregon, so I was done with the rain for the rest of my life. I'm good. I know we're in a drought and we're supposed to pray for rain, but I've just lived in too much rain. I'm done. And I remember, it's like that balancing act. You could fall to the negativity or to the positivity. And since then, I remember looking back and just laughing, like standing out in line, just thinking, I could have worn a wetsuit today and have been really good. Yeah, because it was New Year's. It was December to January, fully soaked. But it's those moments where, man, what are you going to dwell on? And sometimes the only thing you need is like an umbrella just to pop it up, just to deflect everything that wants to soak in and really ruin your time. Change. I really like just the illustration behind homesickness compared illustratively to severe and major changes in our lives. Because really homesickness is kind of like, we look at it and we think of, oh, that's like, you know, little kid stuff. But for us, it's just a different name. It's just loss. It's no longer feeling those emotions when we stay at someone else's house. We feel those emotions when we lose someone dear to us, or when something happens, or when a major transition goes through. Homesickness. It's just a different name. Here's what I want to do. Can we close your eyes for a moment? Janelle, can you come up on stage? Just be reflective. Just be quiet before God, quiet before this music. And Janelle's just going to lead out in some instrumental music right now. Lord, I think it's safe to say that all of us have gone through change in our life. All of us have gone through a transition. All of us have gone through something. And you know what? Because earth is always changing and this life is always, something is always happening. And until we get to heaven, which is perfect and grand and wonderful, but there's always something. But I pray that today you'd really give us understanding of how to deal with that. Not only that, how to help others deal with it too. You know what? Just as you're sitting here with your eyes closed, would you just take a moment to process maybe something that you had one of those symptoms? Maybe you are constantly thinking about the past, or maybe you're constantly in a state of negativity. Really take a couple of moments to think of, wow, what's the root cause today? Just like a spider with a spider web. If you can clear away the cobweb and the webs hundreds of times, but if you don't take care of the spider, the webs will always come back. Is there something that you went through in your past, recently or a long time ago, that you're really going with right now? I pray that you'd be able to utilize some of this message. And on the flip side, maybe God has really placed someone on your heart during this message that you are the catalyst between God and them. Just like how if you have a lamp in your house and it you want it in a certain spot, but you can't reach the power plug, but you need an extension cord for it to receive the power, maybe you're that extension cord between the power of God and them having the ability to utilize who they are. God, speak to us today. Minister to where we're at. Set us up for the successful life that you have in store for us. Work on our hearts, work on our lives. Just with your eyes closed, sometimes we don't do this, but we believe in the full Bible. We believe in everything that God says is true. One of the things that he talks about is just the power of God gives us the ability for the prophetic, which was really words of encouragement and words of building up. I'm just really sensing right now that there's a couple people in here that you're going through a couple things because of divorce. And you haven't dealt with all of it before. And you have certain emotions of depression that springs up, and the root cause is linked to divorce. My encouragement to you today is a lot of people are affected by that. And I want to challenge you to connect with someone, maybe on a weekly basis, just to sit and spend time. There's someone in here, and I'm really sensing you lost a dear friend a few years ago, and you keep thinking about the good old times and the past. Well, I want to encourage you today that, you know, there's more good old times to be had. But don't allow the loss to prevent you from connecting to others. And the last one I want to share on, and we don't normally just take time to do this, and this is something really special I just feel the Lord is doing today in this service. I mentioned the story of me at college towards the beginning of the message, where it just had that sense of, I don't know where to head. I'm kind of lost. I'm kind of just trying my best to figure out life. And I really sense there's a couple people here today that are in that same boat. And you're like, yes, that was me right now. Yeah, God's working in your life. He's working with you very specifically, and time will tell and give you direction. If he gave you the entire piece of your life, everything together, like you got the puzzle box picture on the front of your life. You could see the path, the tracks, the relationships, the loss, the wonder, the excitement. If you saw the entire picture right now, it would be so overwhelming, you wouldn't even be able to move towards it. And for you, God has built you in such a specific way that he will lead you and guide you by giving you like almost breadcrumbs at a time to get you along the track and the path. He has specifics for your life, but he has to give you just a little bit at a time to move you along throughout your life. Amen. Would you just keep your eyes closed for one more? I know we're kind of taking a long time right now, but I have one question. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I'm so glad I came today. I needed this. Maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, I used to have a relationship with Jesus, or I never had one, and I want to be connected. I want to experience the full picture. I want to experience God with the community. If you're saying, I want Jesus in my life today, for the first time, or for the second or third time, and you're saying, today is it. I need him. Would you open your eyes? Everyone else's eyes are closed. Just look up at me for a second. Amen. I see your eyes. Amen. Lord, praise your name. Praise your name. Lord, we love you. We lift you up. We're excited to start this journey. And Lord, work with us as we go through this process and help others through this process. In your name, amen.